Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked to discuss these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus."
Thank you, John, very much indeed. Now, I'm going to need three volunteers to act out this story. It's a wonderful story. You don't have to say anything, so don't fear, but we'll just sort of figure it out as we go along. It'd be great if some adults, in fact, would be willing to help as well. I know that we have a couple of budding actors in our midst, so I'm wondering if, well done, Izzy's put up her hand. Evie, are you up for it as well? Yeah, brilliant. So we've got our couple of disciples. We need a Jesus figure as well. Someone willing to be Jesus figure? Great. William, come on. Brilliant. Well done. Okay, now Emma's got all the outfits here, and we've got some important stickers as well. So, here's the stickers. We've got Jesus, we've got Cleopas, who's one of the disciples. We've got Cleopas's friend. We don't actually know Cleopas's friend's name. It may even have been Mrs. Cleopas. We're not entirely sure. But a huge thank you to our budding actors who are helping out today. And Katie, do you want to give them a sticker as well? Now, here's the important thing. We're going to give Jesus a sticker, but we're going to put his sticker underneath his outfit. Because the great thing about this story, and you're allowed in on the secret, but they are not, is that Jesus is alive from the dead, and they don't even recognize who he is. He's alive, the person that they've been following, and they don't recognize him. But we get to see that, and we get to know that he is alive. So have you got the sticker underneath there, William?
Yeah.
Fantastic. This is great. Okay. Now, we've got a long way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. You up for this? So why don't you guys start walking down this path? This is Jerusalem. We're all in Jerusalem. We're going to need all of you to be part of this later. But you can see they're walking down. They're looking a little bit sad. And now it looks like Jesus is coming on the road as well. Now, Jesus, why don't you go and just walk quite slowly. And then as these guys keep walking, they're now walking to a village called Emmaus. Now, just as they walk. Now, the Rowlands family are with us today. You live in Needingworth, don't you? It's about 7 miles away. How long does it take you to drive here? About 20 minutes. Well done. Keeping to the speed limit. How long would it take you to walk, do you reckon, from Needingworth to Huntingdon? Very true. Without four children, it might take about an hour, hour and a half. Something like that. So probably an hour and a half's walk. And here they are. They're still walking. Well done. So we've got Cleopas and we've got Cleopas's friend. Just pause there. It looks like there's someone else that's sort of joined on this journey. He's walking past them. And why don't you just kind of say, excuse me. Excuse me. Do you mind chatting with these guys? Just you guys stand here and look that way. This is great. Let's have a look at the story to see what happens. Hello. Let's look at it. So we're in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, it says. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Cool, about an hour and a half, 2 hours walk. Maybe not that much. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Have you got that sticker? Let's see it. Yeah, there it is. Fantastic. Great. Yeah, hide that away. Brilliant. Hide that away. Okay, fantastic. They don't know who it is. And it's probably not easy. It's probably maybe beginning to get a little bit dark. It's almost supper time. And he's got his hood on, so not easy. But then Jesus asks them this. He says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. Downcast, please. Brilliant. Now, Izzy is at drama college, so we'll give her a round of applause, and Evie as well for her, for their downcastness. Well done, you're not allowed to smile. And Jesus is talking to them, and they're a bit sad, and it tells us why they're sad in verse 18. One of them named Cleopas said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Now Jesus acts along. I love this. Jesus is alive from the dead, and he doesn't say, guys, it's me, it's Jesus, he's alive. He says, what things? He kind of acts along to spell out the story. Well, then Cleopas tells his story. Now, Cleopas, do you want to give us the gospel according to Cleopas? Yeah. Now, actually, are you happy? Yeah. Happy to read these out? What's the first one?
His life without any godness.
Okay, lift that up high. I made up a new word, godness. His life without any godness. So the reason he's sad is because they're looking back at Jesus and they're a bit sad because he's dead. And the way that they see it is that he was just a prophet. It says in verse 19, about Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. They knew that he was special. They knew that he was a prophet sent from God doing amazing things. But they didn't think that he was more. He was Jesus' life, but without any godness. Now, I think it's hilarious because Jesus is here and they're talking about Jesus, but they don't realize it. Okay, thank you, Cleopas. Let's have the second part of your good news.
His death without any rescue.
His death without any rescue. Let's hold that up high. Let's have a look at the next verse. It says, verse 20, Cleopas says, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Do you see that? They're saying, we had hoped that he was going to rescue us, but he had a death without a rescue. The good news, according to Cleopas, is no wonder they're downcast. He's died, and therefore that's the end of all hope, except he's not because he's right here. And actually, this is very understandable, isn't it? For all of us, if we have a hero and they're a dead hero, then they're probably a failed hero, because how can someone help you if they've died? But we know that Jesus died not in a massive mistake, but in a massive swap. And we'll think about that in just a moment. Let's have a look at the third part.
His burial without any resurrection.
Okay, hold that up high, please, Cleopas. Fantastic. Oscar-winning hold. Thank you very much. And it says in verse 21, it says, and what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. Jesus said that he was going to rise again on the third day, and now it's the third day, and they're all a bit sad and confused, and it looks like nothing's happened. Verse 22, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. They're really sad. And they're really downcast and they're really discouraged because they've been following this king and he's dead and they buried him in a tomb, but now no one's particularly sure what's happened and it's all very discouraging. Well, thank you very much to Cleopas and Cleopas's friend and to Jesus. If you guys just want to go and take a seat for a moment, we'll come back to you in a moment. Hang on to those. That's great. The gospel, according to Cleopas, is not very good news at all, is it? A Jesus whose life was, yes, impressive, but he's nothing particularly more than a prophet or a special man. His death, well, it was a death means that the hero is a failure. And, well, there's talk of his body missing, and people said they didn't see Jesus, just a burial without a resurrection. No wonder everyone is a bit sad. Now, Jesus hasn't yet revealed himself to them. How are we going to get from confused to cheerful? Well, it's through Jesus. But this song tells us exactly where we meet with Jesus and how we get from confused to cheerful. So if the band would like to come up, we're going to have our next song. And we've sung it a couple of times before, A Light and a Hammer. This is a song which has loads of different ways of describing the Bible. It's really fun. So let's all stand. Fantastic. Do please take a seat. And if we can have Cleopas, Cleopas's friend, and Jesus back up the front again, we're going to have the next installment of the story as we move from confused to Christ in the Bible. So here we go. Thank you, John, if you'd like to come on up. Do grab your Bibles again, page 1061. Thank you so much, John, for our reading, verses 25 to 31. And we'll listen to it first, and then we'll act it out again. Jesus, do you want to stand here and point that way? And we'll listen in to the story.
Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight.
Thank you, John. Wow. Okay. So we're on the road to Emmaus. We've got Cleopas and Cleopas's friend, and they're a bit downcast because they'd put all their hope in Jesus. They thought that he was a prophet, a great man, but perhaps not more. But sadly, he had died, and that death didn't really accomplish anything. And now it's day 3, and there's rumours, but not a lot more. Well, let's see what Jesus says. Now, Jesus, you come over here. Let me give you this. Can I give you that? Now, Jesus probably wouldn't have had a Bible with him. In fact, in those days, they just had a few scrolls that they had in the synagogue. But do you want to turn around? That's great, so that we can all see. But he has, the reason I've given him a Bible, hold it up nice and high, is because he does a kind of Bible study with these friends. And of course, Jesus knew the Bible really well, so he quoted some verses to them. Maybe he showed them a bit of the big picture. It's actually great that Izzy and Evie are here because these guys have been part of our CCHY group over the last few terms, particularly Evie because Izzy's at college. But you guys have been doing an actual Bible overview with Vaughan Roberts' God's Big Picture. And if anyone wants to borrow my book, this is a really helpful 8-chapter book that takes you into the whole of the Bible in 8 different chapters, and they all begin with P as well. So let's have a look at the story as Jesus does his Bible overview with Cleopas and Cleopas's friend. So have a look if you've got your Bibles open. Verse 25, all right, Jesus, you stand here. Now, if you stand still, and if you don't mind just holding up your finger like this, I'm afraid there's going to be a slight telling off, guys. I'm sorry about that. You ready for that? A slight telling off, because they haven't listened to the advice in advance, just like I hadn't at the Montgomery roundabout. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken in the Bible. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall? Or maybe a fly on the rucksack at that moment? Because here's Jesus, alive from the dead. No one knows that it's actually Jesus at this point, but he's doing a Bible overview with his friends from the Bible. I wonder which verses he would have used. Maybe that would be a good thing to discuss over lunch or this afternoon or over the Easter holidays if you have a chance. Which bits of the Old Testament would Jesus have pointed to point to himself? And actually, if you look at the footnotes in Luke's gospel, you might get a few clues. We don't exactly know because they didn't record it. Luke didn't write it all down. But he did a Bible overview to show Cleopas and Cleopas's friend how all of the scriptures, including in the prophets at the beginning and in the whole of the scriptures, point towards him. And it says, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah, he's not just a prophet, he's the Messiah. Did he not have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? The Old Testament says that Jesus, the Messiah, who is prophesied hundreds of years before, had to die. Isaiah 53, verse 6. We were looking at that on Good Friday at our service in Swavesey. That we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 700 years before Jesus, and yet it speaks of how he's been pierced for our transgressions. Jesus had to die. Why did he have to die? Well, it's because of this. Now, imagine a DVD or a CD-ROM. We don't really do those anymore, do we? Or a USB device, which has a record of your life. Imagine that we could put this into the tech laptop and project it on the screen so that all of us here could see every detail of your life. This is a super special disc, and it's got a lot of information on there. Now, I tell you, if this was my life, I would be out of this room like a shot. I wouldn't want you to see my life, not all the secrets, not all the thoughts, all the words, all the actions. But Jesus' life... Can I give that to Cleopas's friend? Thank you. But Jesus' life was absolutely amazing. He was never once selfish or unkind or untrue. And if we open his life, well, this CD would be absolutely perfect, completely loving, completely kind, completely truthful. But in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that Jesus, the Messiah, had to die. He had to. Otherwise, a great big swap could not happen. Jesus, do you want to just hold that? Here's Jesus' life. Here's my life. So this is, put this one in here and put my life in here. Jesus had to die because when Jesus died on the cross, God punished him for my life. God looked at Jesus and Jesus took my punishment in his place, so that when God now looks at my life, he sees Jesus's perfection inside. That's why Jesus had to die. It wasn't a great failure when Jesus died. It was the greatest and most wonderful news in all of the world. That's why we call it Good Friday, that Jesus should die in our place to swap places with us, to take the punishment we deserve in our place. But Jesus had to rise as well. He didn't stay dead, because if he'd stayed dead, how would we know that that price had been paid? How would we know that he's the judge who's going to come back one day? How would we know that he's alive today and that we can talk to him and that 120 people in Huntingdon are not completely mad for worshipping someone who's still dead? He rose. He rose from the dead. He had to. It was written in... Again, Isaiah 53, after the suffering of his soul, he'll see the light of life. And in some of the Psalms, Psalm 16, Psalm 118, that he would rise from the dead. It was prophesied, it was predicted that it had to happen. And sure enough, Jesus was alive from the dead. And these guys are just about to find out, because we haven't reached Emmaus yet. So let's take this, and let's take this. Are you guys feeling a bit hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah, I slightly wish that I'd had some props with some food, but I'm going to disappoint. I'm sure there's some chocolate around here somewhere. But let's all walk together with Jesus. Now, let's walk this way, and let's just gather round here. And Jesus, it looks like he's going on his way. Let's pick up our Bibles again. Looks like Jesus needs to go further. You give them a wave. Give them a wave. They've had such a fantastic Bible story. But why don't you get him back? Get him back.
Come back.
Come back. Why don't you invite him in to
have... Come on in. We're inviting you.
Brilliant. We're inviting Jesus in for a meal because it's been such a wonderful time on that road that they want to carry on with him. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. We sometimes sing. That's based on this story because it's getting dark. And if you're out on the roads without any street lights and it gets dark very quickly, probably not a great place to be. So they say, come on in, just stay with us and let's have a meal. And I love it. Can we have the lights at the back just switched off, please, Jack or Carrie? Thank you. Just have a look at this picture. It's from, can you see that? It's a little bit dark and we've still got the curtain open, but this is by Caravaggio. You can see this picture in the National Gallery, much closer up and better lighting. But you can just see, Emma, do you mind closing that curtain? You can just see, here's Jesus, and here's the meal in Emmaus. And there's maybe an innkeeper there or someone else. And here's Cleopas. And here's Cleopas's friend. And they're eating with him. And maybe they can see a scar in his hand. Or maybe they just remember when he broke the bread and fed the 5,000. Or maybe they know about the Last Supper. And Cleopas says, wait, stop. There he is. And then Cleopas's friend says, hang on, hang on. They realise who it is. Let's have the lights back on, please. Fantastic. And just turn around so that we can see this. This is an important moment. This is not just a traveller on the road. This is Jesus. And he was with them all that time, just like he's with us all the time, even when we don't know it. And Jesus is there. And do you know the most amazing thing happens next? Jesus, do you want to go and sit down with your family? Ping! There's an apple on the floor. But Cleopas and Cleopas's friends are here. But Jesus has completely disappeared. That is strange. But hang on. That means that Jesus, that was Jesus. Jesus is alive. It's just like the prophets have said. This is amazing. Let's just pause right there, because we haven't got to scene three yet. We're going to have scene three in just a moment. But I think we better sing another song to just celebrate how incredible this is. Still, we're just getting our heads around this. Jesus is alive. He's just disappeared. And these guys are the lovely freeze frame there. Let's stand and let's sing. If you're able to stand, let's sing Thine Be the Glory. Because in this song, it talks about Jesus who scatters fear and gloom. Let's sing and then we'll have scene three after that. Take a seat. Lovely to have some dancing up at the front. I hope we're all going to be dancing by the end of this service as we rejoice in the risen Lord Jesus. But we haven't finished our story. Let's have scene three. So we've been moving from confused, that's how they were at the beginning, confused.com, to the Christ of the Bible. It had a Bible overview, and now we're into the final scene where they are full of joy and clarity and cheerfulness. So Cleopas and Cleopas's friend, please. Jesus has disappeared. That's strange, but he didn't need to stay longer because we know that he's alive now, just as the Old Testament prophets have predicted, and just as the New Testament witnesses have shown us, Jesus is alive. Actually, Cleopas, you can rip up your good news. Thank you. Just leave that on one side, because Cleopas's story was that he had a life without any godness, but we know that Jesus is alive from the dead, so he must be fully God. And his death without a rescue, we've seen that his death was deliberate. It was a rescue for our sins. And we've seen that his burial wasn't just a burial, there was a resurrection 3 days later because Jesus is alive. That's a much better good news. That's the good news that we have to tell. So let's have a look at this next little bit. And this is just the final few verses, verses 32 to 35. Thank you, John. And you guys are such good actors. I think you'll figure out what to do in the next part. Thank you.
They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened to them on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Fantastic. Thank you, John. And thank you, Cleopas and friends. So they're discussing it together. I love this energy in this final scene. It's very short, but it's very exciting, isn't it? So verse 31, their eyes were open. They recognized Jesus and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Right, off you go. Fantastic. 7 miles. It's a long old way, but do you remember when they came, they were so slow and a bit downcast, but just look at the speed now. They're full of energy, bounding forwards, full of joy, full of energy, and they've come back to Jerusalem, and here we all are. We're representing the disciples gathered together, and they're just about to tell their story, so you guys are all the disciples. Here we are. Are you ready? So it says here, they got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11, a few more perhaps for us, and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Can you all say that, everyone? I'll tell you the words again and then you shout them out to me. "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Did you get that? It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. One more time. Again. It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Have we got anyone here called Simon today? Yes, Simon Sykes, up you come. And look, it just looks like we've got Naomi. Naomi as well. Naomi is an answer to prayer because we've been praying for her. And she's out of hospital for the second time, which is wonderful, good news. Simon is here. Now, this is not fair. These guys have just run 7 miles to tell all of these guys that Jesus is alive from the dead. And Simon himself has already got the news. This is like the BBC news desk and there's reports coming in left and right all the time. It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Simon was there. He went to the tomb early that morning and then Jesus appeared several times that day. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how he was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Fantastic. Now, can we give them a big round of applause? Thank you very much. Simon, do go and take a seat. Thanks, guys. Do come and grab a seat. It's an amazing story, isn't it? It's one of the best love stories in the Gospels. But just two questions as we finish off. First of all, do you love your Bible? Do you love your Bible? Do you see that the active ingredient that takes them from confused to cheerful is the Bible? It's Jesus didn't actually reveal himself in person at that point. And sometimes we're a bit disappointed that Jesus himself couldn't walk in the door into our room and be with us here right today. But he is alive and he's proved it to us from the scriptures. We've got the Bible to give us that clarity and to help us to go from sadness to cheerfulness. Now, sometimes life is still tough and we can't always get to the bottom of why life is so difficult. And Jesus isn't just a magic pill that's going to suddenly make everything right. But the Bible does give us perspective on life. It says in Psalm 19 that the law of the Lord refreshes the soul. It makes wise the simple. It gives light to the eyes. And it does something else, which I can't read. It gives joy to the heart and light to the eyes. So the Bible is what takes us from confusion to cheerfulness. And we so need our Bibles because this is the active ingredient that gets us from A to B. It's not reason, it's not institution, it's not experience, first of all. It's Bible that helps us to get from A to B. Do you love your Bibles? Maybe you're new to the Christian faith. Well, get a Bible, borrow one, take one away, and read it over the holidays. Maybe you've hit the holidays, you're really pleased, you can just binge out on Netflix for the next few days. Well, enjoy some TV, by all means. But why not just for a few minutes look at the Bible as well? Maybe read Luke chapter 24. You'll see that there are actually three stories that have the Old Testament prophets and psalms and writings as the active ingredient that changes the situation around. That's the first question. Do you love your Bible? Secondly, do you love your Saviour? Martin Luther said that if he could see a gaggle of women gathering round a cradle or a pram, they wouldn't be admiring the pram. They would be admiring the baby inside. And he said that the Bible is the manger in which we find Jesus Christ. We open our Bibles not to just spot structures and patterns and storylines, though those are all great in and of themselves. But we open our Bibles to meet with Jesus, the risen Jesus who is alive with us. He's in the room with us even when we can't see him. And his Holy Spirit is there to help us to see him in the scriptures. Do you love your Bible? Do you? Yes, good Jemima, I'm glad to. And do you love your Saviour, Jesus? Yes, she's nodding. Fantastic. He's the one that we meet in the Bible. Doesn't meeting with him just make you want to get out of bed just a few minutes earlier? Doesn't meeting with Jesus in the Bible just inspire you to get your Bible open or to watch something on YouTube that helps you to understand the Bible better, like the Jesus video, one of the enactments of the Gospels? Do you love your Bible? Do you love your Saviour? Verse 32 is one of the most passionate verses in all of the scriptures. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this amazing story. And we thank you for the scriptures, the Bible, that takes us from confused and sad through to cheerful. And Lord, even though this life is full of tears, we thank you that ultimately, because of Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection to new life, death is not the end, and that we have a great hope to look forward to because of what he did. So Lord, please may we read our Bibles, please may we love our Bibles, and please may we love the Lord Jesus Christ who we meet in the scriptures. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue in prayer, and Jean's just going to